action from the Eagles. That was a good game the other day. And obviously 4-2 is a good record. Hoping they continue a surge and actually be a really good team this year. We'll see. For more on that, Howard Eskin in just a moment. But let me remind you, life advice with the hammer in about 15 minutes. So get those scenarios in. Facebook. Seltzer says he needs someone. What's the deal, James? No one's gotten it yet?
Yeah, I got no life advice so far.
So someone needs to ask you.
I need a question to ask you. Yes. You can't do life advice with the hammer unless there's a question to ask you, and I have no questions.
Otherwise, you would just say to me, Joe, what do you do when there's no questions?
And yeah, then you'd say ask for questions. So we're doing that now. Getting right in front of it.
So Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Someone help Seltzer out. He needs a question from you on your life, and then I'll try to help you. In 15 minutes, Life Advice with the Hammer, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Let's talk to the King. Howard Eskin joins us every single Thursday at this time. Good morning, King.
Good morning, and you're the last guy I would want life advice from.
Well, I know, Howard.
The last guy.
Howard, I know. And yet, you hired me as your producer, so what does that say about you?
Did you really know what you were getting? Did you know what you were bargaining for, Howard?
Obviously, if I did, it wouldn't have happened.
You know, Howard, I remember being on Edge Hill Road in, maybe that's Abington, and talking to you for the first time over the phone. And it was a thrill. It was, and I got to tell you, it was very surreal, because obviously I grew up listening to WIP. Really? And all this, and of course, Howard, it was Tim Sabian that connected us, if you remember. And, you know, it was like, it was a very weird thing to talk to Howard at the age of whatever, 26, 26.
I remember the first time I talked to Howard.
25,
also.
Maybe. Yeah, do you? So what was that like, John?
The first time, I don't know, Howard, if you remember, you helped me. I mean, the very first time I talked to Howard, he was putting me in touch with a realtor to try to find a place.
Look at you, King. Look at you.
I mean, it was like out of the blue, I got a call. I didn't recognize the number, and it was Howard.
Okay. Well, Howard,
I appreciated it a lot. I mean, he reached out. Yeah.
So, Howard, while you're helping people out, can you help the Sixers be a better-run organization?
Well, I've said this, and I said this publicly. It's the worst organization from top to bottom. Now, there's some good people in there.
There are,
But it's the worst organization from top to bottom that I've ever, ever been around in my life.
Holy
in
cow.
Philadelphia. It's just, it's ridiculous. They don't tell you the truth. From top, and again, there's some people that do, to bottom. That includes now the coaches on board with not telling you the truth, Nick Nurse. It's just...
What makes you say that? The coaches on board with not telling the truth.
When last night before the game, when I asked him the question about the investigation, he says, well, nobody told me about that. What are you talking about? You just walked into you're walking into a news conference that is on the top of everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that nobody told you about that? And then he tap danced around his weight situation where he had to correct himself because earlier, somewhere in the news conference, he said, talked about Joel Embiid's weight and then he's going to have to lose some. And then, oh, wait a minute, he said he lost 25 to 30 pounds, which is another lie because when you come into camp, you have a physical. And the physical, one of the things is you get on a scale. You know how much, if you lost, how much weight you lost because you just had a physical.
Yes.
So everything, it's sad. That's why you like, and I'm going to give Saquon Barkley another shout out. That guy is one of the classiest athletes and honest athletes that I've been around for years. Now, there's guys on the team, and Brandon Graham, and you still have a bunch of Eagles.
Yeah.
But just to have a new guy come in and be like guys from years ago with the way he's a teammate and honesty, but the Sixers are just not honest. And that's sad. You know, the Embiid knee situation, he's got problems. And I was told by somebody that has knowledge of the situation, he's got problems with that knee. And they knew a week ago that he wasn't going to play in the opening game, but they're trying to sell tickets. And that's sad. But the Sixers are in trouble, you know, because of that situation. It's unbelievable. And, you know, with him not playing, we talk about the team and they're talking about the playoffs. What about the fans that pay for opening game? You're paying more
it's
money
bad.
Because of the
ticket
pricing. More money for tickets. But you know why the NBA is going to investigate? And all they're going to, Sixers are going to do is pay a fine. That's all that's going to happen. It's because of national TV. Last night's game was on national TV, and you're missing your two best players. All right, I'm going to ask you guys a question. How many games this year do you think that Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Maxey will play in the same game?
That's a great one, because I thought you were going to say, does Embiid play? So let me just start with that. I'm going to guess Embiid plays 44 games. But your question is great, Howard, because obviously all 44, if it is that, aren't going to involve the other two. So you're, yeah, it might be 30 or under.
I'm guessing 30. If they get to 35,
easily under 30. Easily under 30.
They'll be a well-oiled machine by the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great point, Howard.
You know, everything's going to be okay. It's just, but you can't do that. You can't do that for the fans. But they're not. They're doing this to try to get him to play for, because there's so many national TV games with the Sixers, especially when they signed Paul George. Who, by the way, here's another thing. If you look at his statistics, last year he played, I think it was 71 or 74 games because he was playing for a contract. Do you know the four previous years he played a couple of seasons under 50 games, but it was nowhere out of the 50s.
Yeah. So now two of those years were COVID. To be fair, 2 years were COVID where there was less games.
Okay. Just to give it context. So I'll take that out of the mix. But the reality is he's not going to play a lot of games either. And the 4-year max contract, Sixers got him because nobody else wanted to sign him for 4 years max. They would have signed him, but not for four years max. And let me just address the Embiid situation. Why in the hell, and I've had two NBA people ask me this question, why in the world did Daryl Morey give him a 3-year extension? Now he's got 5 years at an average of $62 million. When he really knew he was hurt, you have a physical before you sign. They knew he had knee issues. Why would you give him an extension? Don't tell me other teams are going to sign him, because they're going to go through the same things and not going to do that. So they're, now they have Embiid under contract for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And how many people think he's going to be healthy for the next year?
It's a good point.
The next five.
So, so where is the breakdown? Where did the breakdown occur, Howard?
There was no breakdown. He knew. Daryl Morey is just making everybody happy because he won't be here at the end of Embiid's contract, because he got his money, because he got the owner to give him his money. So he's not going to be here. So he's just, and you know what? It's a fan thing. It's just, oh, make everybody happy because they raise ticket prices.
Well, it also could be about trying to get that arena built.
Joe, you read my mind.
Yeah.
You read my mind. And if they get fined, they're paying out that money to all the politicians. It's in donations, but call it what you want. Like the mayor says, well, we're going to get $50 million. We'll see if they get it for help in the communities. But it's her initiatives, which she had before she was even mayor. So it's taking care of her. This whole thing, and the arena is a big part of it. There's no question. And I've already said that would be a disaster financially for
Yeah, football. No, we know where you stand there. Howard, let's get to the Eagles.
Sure.
So they're 4-2. It's the first time this year they have what you can call a good record. I mean, I guess 1-0 is good, but it's not much. Are the Eagles actually good, Howard?
Yeah, I think they are. And now, how good is, good?
Sure.
Yes. How good is another question. But they're starting to take steps. The last game was better, and I know it was against the Giants, but the Cleveland stuck too. So, but it was better than Cleveland. So it looks like the defense is better. You know, Jalen's better, but he's got to be better. And let me give you another little point. And I've talked to some people. I try to find out, why is Jalen Hurts not under center more? And I knew they practiced it more last week, and I've said that. I said that last week. They practice it more, but why is he not under center? So I talked to, I've spoken to coaches. I won't say coaches from where. And I talked to Mark Sanchez both Saturday and Sunday, and Sunday before the game. He says there's some quarterbacks, when they do play action, and play action's better under center, when you turn, you lose sight of what's going on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And some quarterbacks are uncomfortable with that. And I don't know that Jalen Hurts is, but that could be a reason that he's not under center more. So, and I think he's got to be under center more, because you can do more things.
Well, good thing that's fixable.
Yes. Well, it should be. Yeah, it should be with practice and work, and I'm sure they've tried to work on it. But he's got to be honest with them and say the reason that he prefers to be in the pistol or the shotgun. But mm-hmm. they are.
It does
team.
Make sense. You do yeah. turn your back to the. Yep. You turn yep. your back to guys who are trying to come and get you, yep. and that has to be unsettling and uncomfortable, especially if that's
exactly
not
right.
what you're accustomed to doing. When you look at a guy like. When you look at Jared Goff, the way he holds that ball out while he's play faking, while they're faking those stretches in Detroit, and I talk an awful lot about the Detroit offense because I love what they're doing,
yeah.
the creativity every week. Every week it's something new, many new things. But the stretch play where you extend that ball and the defense can actually see it.
Yeah.
They can see the ball being held out. That it has such pull. If you're a linebacker, you have to honor that.
Yeah, Donovan,
you have
Donovan
to take
was good
five
at that.
Steps up into yeah. the line of scrimmage. Joe, I'm telling you, we opened, I don't know, 50% of our plays, of our games with something similar.
Well, John, that,
pass
that goes...
67, double go. We loved it because it worked. It's great play action because Don extended that thing. But he also turned his back on the defense.
Right, and Goff is maybe, and I just heard Boomer Esiason before we came on, he ranked him the number one quarterback right now in the league.
Wow.
And he probably is. You need the quarterback. Hey, Saquon Barkley's going to be terrific. But you need the quarterback in certain games to be a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to do everything. And Detroit does it really. I thought they're better than I thought they would be this year. But it comes down to the quarterback, and he's so relaxed and so doing everything that the offensive coordinator wants him and has him do, and they come up with new things because the quarterback feels comfortable doing those things. And Jalen, I think, obviously, we all hope he will get better, but
yeah.
I think he can get better doing those things.
I mean, hey, practice, reps, with reps, yep. you do improve usually. And I know that it matters to this quarterback. I think that helps as well.
Yeah, and there's no question. But I think they'll be better. I think they have a good chance of winning on Sunday. Just because they have a little more confidence, they're better. Cincinnati can score more points than obviously New York can.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if the defense plays the way they did.
These young kids, huge challenge.
Look, challenge. It's a very intriguing matchup.
Chase and yeah. T. Higgins. Yeah. These guys have to step up to the plate.
Let me add one thing that I forgot to mention about Embiid, and you're going to love this.
Uh-oh.
I was told, great information. Joel Embiid wanted to leave the Olympic team before it was over, and he doesn't know why. So I'm surmising he played 27 minutes the first game and mm-hmm. 12 the second game.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Kerr was not happy.
Well, somebody should ask him when he's next available.
Yeah, the next year or 2 years when we get to talk to him.
Wait, you said Steve? Wow.
Well, Steve Kerr wasn't happy with him as a player, but the reality is you can't leave the Olympic team.
No, you can't. No.
All right, King, stay well, my man. Thank you,
all
Howard.
Right, take care. You guys have a good day.
All right, you got Thanks. It, buddy. All right, let's get
well, just the idea that you would look. I don't know the details on that story, but just the idea that you would think like. To think that.
Well,
like,
Joel
hey,
got.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Joel got.
That suggests an impetuousness.
Well,
that, man, I really can get behind Joel for all the smart things that he says and the way that he improves his game yeah. and all that. But that sort of impetuousness, that childishness, that flies in the face of that maturity that I thought. He
always
was developing.
Had that aspect to himself.
I thought it was improving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get
yeah, I don't
stuff
know
like
where
this.
That's
it's
at.
Just
I
like,
really don't. I don't know where
it's
that.
It's deflating.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Darren, South Philadelphia. Hi, Darren.
What's up, Brother Joe, Uncle Richie?
Hey, Darren. It's been
Auntie
a while, Rhea. Man.
Brother Salsa. Let's get Joe don't like me, but on 8
don't
years,
like you.
I
what are you talking about? Don't like
Joe.
You.
Joe, what's going on?
I got nothing with
you. Darren.
Seriously.
I love Darren.
Darren.
What did you do?
Like one of our oldest callers, like from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that I'm
Why the hard feelings toward Darren?
I'm hurt, man.
I'm hurt too, but let me just say, I have two memories. I have a serious one and a funny one.
Okay.
My serious is one of the day I learned Joe actually had a heart. My brother passed away, and Joe DeCamera took it upon himself to call me personally at like 8 o'clock at night and just make sure I was right. Man, I do truly appreciate you that, Joe.
My pleasure.
That meant a lot to me.
Thank you, buddy.
And then my funny one is the day that us as fans and callers of the radio got to see Joe DeCamera eat ice cream at a Phillies game.
I remember.
That first time was that we were all like, what is happening right now?
First time.
Remember it well.
I think I've preserved it with a photo. I think I used
I
that
a photo
for
it too.
Yeah.
Our
I think it was your fantasy photo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Richie, that is great. That is great. That's all I had. I ain't have anything else. You had to get in.
All right, Darren, you can win a prize, though. Sarah Silverman tickets. Give me a number that's used in a phrase.
The one I had. You had the one I had originally, so I'm going to say it's probably been said. Second place is first loser.
Okay.
Not bad. Sure.
Yeah. There are better answers, but that, you know, it's okay. It's all right. All right, let's do what we do every single Thursday at this time, a little life advice with the Hammer.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For life advice with the Hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe DeCamera?
The Hammer.
I'm an idiot.
All right, life advice brought to you by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material, handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com. Seltzer, what does someone need help with today?
We're going to have Donnie out today. This is actually a subject that has not come up on our show before,
okay.
So I'm intrigued. He says,
Donnie?
Donnie. This
I'll
is from Donnie.
I'll start with get a new name, but okay, go ahead.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Just seriously? Go for it.
And
huh?
I love Donnie Most, but I mean, you know, that's 50 years ago.
Donnie okay. Most is
well,
Ralph
so what,
Mouth,
are you okay with
right?
Don yeah. or Donald? Because it's a Donald who became a Donnie,
yeah, I'm
guessing.
Okay with them, but Donnie's a little, like, you're 4 years old.
Wow. All right. But sorry
I'm
about
guessing,
that, Don.
Guessing this guy's not four anymore.
So. I would hope not. It'd be a weird, he has a kid, according to the question, okay. So that'd be a weird, yep. a weird one. All right. He says, Hammer, how do I deal with a difficult parent on the sideline at a youth sport game?
Oh, no.
I'm a parent trying to watch my son's football game, and another parent whose son is on the same team as my son is constantly out of control.
Mm.
What do I do? Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough
wow.
one.
That was a pregnant pause right there.
That's a tough one. So, look, the simple thing that I'd like to recommend you do, but I want to tell you why I'm not necessarily going to recommend it right away, is, you know, you talk to the parent and say, yo, parent, you know, I need you to chill it out here a little bit. The problem is you got to, I'll use the word, discern how you think.
Have a little wisdom there.
How you think that parent's going to react. What you
poorly.
Don't want to, you know, yeah, probably. So.
Yeah, if they're spouting off on the, you
correct,
know.
Correct, James, yeah.
So, you know, first thing you got to do is try to identify how that person will react. Then once you have that information, you really probably should talk to that individual, or you could have the coach talk to the individual, but I wouldn't recommend that. Just try to handle it yourself. But just know you got to be prepared for this thing could go off the rails. It could get physical. It could get verbal.
It could get physical.
Why? It could, James.
So why would
James,
you go to like
brass
that?
Knuckles.
What's the association for the football league? Talk to like the association, whoever's in
you
charge
could.
Of putting these football games on.
You could, but.
And take an adult route rather than getting into a fight.
No. But James, here's what I'm not advocating the fight. Here's what I'm trying to avoid.
Punch him in the nose.
I'm trying to avoid you pass the buck to someone else. Who's trying to just do good in the community, running a league, and now they got to deal with this problem. Like, if you can deal with it yourself, that'll be good for others who, I mean, they're already coaching the team, running the team, being the officials. Like, you know, if you can handle it yourself, that's ideal. That was what I was getting at. Bottom line is,
you're
going to
take them down. You're going to take the wild parent on the sideline. How do you take
be
them down?
Be ready to
though?
Get physical.
Yeah. How do you talk them down? How do you take them down? How do you calm them down?
You ready?
Yeah.
You hire Tony Soprano.
Oh, man.
No, I don't know, guys. I would just say try to talk
good
to
thing he asked you for advice.
Try to talk to the person.
I don't know.
But just
try to talk to him.
Just be ready. It could go off the rails. That's my guess, guys. That's the best I got.
This is our segment.
Maybe
right here.
Tackle him. Maybe fight him.
Hey, just be ready. He might punch you in the face.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I'm doing my best here. It's all
Dodge,
I got.
Bob
that's
and
not
weave.
That great.
All right, and that's life advice with the head.
Was it any advice given?
Yes. Have a conversation. What's wrong with the conversation? All right, 215.
He's a crazed lunatic on the sideline. Cares for me. Nobody cares for me.
Great song.
I love when he does the that was, what, fifth grade, sixth grade for me? Everyone thought it was the coolest thing. David Lee Roth, the lead singer for Van Halen, all of a sudden going solo?
You know how far away we are from that moment? I mean, we can keep going if it's sort of soon.
Mm. Yeah, we got way too far.
Yeah, we
long way to go. It really is cool.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day on this fine Thursday morning. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevyEd.com. All right, let's tackle the Embiid question first. How many regular season games do you think he plays this year? So we've got 60 or more, 50 to 59, 41 to 49, 40 or less. John, what do you, actually, before that, Rhea, your personal assessment, which would you vote for?
How many?
60 or more.
No.
50 to 59, 41 to 49, 40 or less.
41 to 49.
Okay. Seltzer, where are you at?
I think I'm in that 41 to 49 range, but I think it'll, I don't think it'll be below 40. I don't.
As long as there's not a real, man. Like a real.
As long as there, yeah, but then that's
my,
you know,
worry.
There's going to be, Joe.
They're expecting.
Then you should pick under 40 then. If you expect an injury, you should pick under 40.
You should pick under 40.
You would pick under 40, John?
I think that they are expecting to play him somewhere in the 40s, and he'll get hurt.
Gotcha. Well, that would be under 40 then. If he's expecting in the 40s and gets hurt, then that's under 40. I would go in the 40s anyway. How do you think people voted, John?
In the 40s wins,
yep.
Maybe.
36% in the 40s. 50s, 30%. Excuse me. Let me go out. I'm out of order here. I'm out of order.
This whole courtroom's out of order.
That's right. 40 or less is 31%.
That's tragic, by the way.
Yeah, that's...
That's 31% think that this guy can't make half the games.
Well, they're choosing to.
I mean, I feel that way. I believe that. It's so sad.
Well, we do wonder...
This guy's a star.
Yeah, but I will say, but John, we do wonder how a league investigation could change the matter. And, you know, I don't know if it gets legal. Like, I don't know. I mean, they got their rules. I have no idea. I just know
it depends on how many fines they're going to get, how much, you know, because frankly, you know, Joshua Harris can pay fines out of his...
Well,
know,
they can hurt the Sixers in ways that aren't financial.
That's where it would come from.
Yep.
Because the fact that, you know, it says in that player, you know, policy thing, if healthy, they have to play. Like, Paul George, everybody knows is injured.
And
that was fine.
No question.
There was no deal with that.
That's right.
If they were sitting a healthy Joel, they're not allowed to do that. Two stars on a nationally broadcast game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. By the way, 60 or more games? 3%.
I knew it was going to be 3%.
Why did Nick Nurse say that he's unhurt then?
Well, he may have...
Like, is that a mistake by Nick Nurse? Did Nick Nurse... Is that an oversight?
I don't know.
Or is that Nick Nurse frustrated to where he doesn't even care? Like,
there's probably some
imagine.
Gray area in this language. Like, if he's not ready to play because he had an injury before and he is still ramping up, like, I'm sure there's some leeway within that.
James,
within
do you think he can claim, like Ben Simmons did, mental health?
Yeah, no. That I don't think is going to fly.
Oh, my God. What a crock. All right, next poll question. Who are you rooting for in the World Series? Seltzer, talk to me.
Dodgers. Made it very clear. Big time.
Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I didn't say it before, too. I would like to see Shohei win. Yeah. Like, I would like to see him be a champ. Cool. He's the greatest baseball player we've ever seen.
So I'm not hardcore Yankees, but I lean Yankees, and I'll tell you why.
Well, you're a Mets fan. It's only a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, just swap on over to the Bronx. No big deal. Just take a cab.
Couple things.
Be a long cab.
How do your Mets friends feel about your Yankees fandom now?
So, First off, I don't hate the Yankees. That's number one. Number two, the Phillies do have more history with the Dodgers than the Yankees, even though the Phillies lost twice in the World Series to the Yankees.
How many times have they lost to the Dodgers in the World Series?
Well, they lost in 77.
In the World Series?
In the World Series? No.
No. Okay, I was just checking.
Yeah, but played in 77, 78, 08.
What happened the last time we played the Dodgers in the playoffs?
Phillies won.
Twice.
Back-to-back years. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
They've beaten the Dodgers in the playoffs. They have...
And
lost
one more thing, and I'm going
to
say something that, boy, you people are going
to
hate.
They have actually lost to the Yankees more recently in the playoffs than they've lost to the Dodgers.
But I'm going
to
give
like the Yankees.
I
big Yankees guy.
I do respect them. Babe Ruth, House of Babe Ruth, built, Joe D.
It's not even the House of Ruth built, it's a new
do
building.
Do we have
it's
what
place.
He said about the Mets also? Do you have that?
I got to find it.
All right, but here's what I'm also going to say, and you're not going to like me for this, and I might even get beat up for this, but I'm going to say it. Yankees being good is good for baseball.
I agree with that.
And I care about baseball.
Yeah,
for the good of the game.
No. It's not good for them to win the World Series.
Well,
it's good for them to be in it.
It can be.
I don't think
it can be very good. 96 to 2000 was a fun time in baseball. Let's go to the phones. Let's get.
No, it was not. It was not. They won every year. That was not fun at all.
I enjoyed watching it.
Oh, God.
I did. Randy in Coatesville, home of Richard Hamilton. Good morning, Randy.
Yeah, good morning. Let me I get to my my number, which is three strikes and you're out.
Oh, that's a good one.
The baseball theme.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Good call.
But let me say congratulations, guys, on 8 years. It's been awesome. A highlight for me was the trial of Joe DiCamera, where I can still remember where I was when the verdict was read out.
All right, Randy, a just verdict or unjust?
I think you did a great job defending yourself, so I will give you credit for
that. Oh, Randy.
Total BS.
I do have,
Randy.
By the way, this was when you won the moment. Ready?
Wow!
The only person who was like impressed. The only person.
Well, Mil Thompson.
Mil Thompson, Mickey Morandini, and John. No, they weren't. In that moment, Mil. They were terrified that this guy was yelling at the top. Jumped up and yelled at the top of his lungs in front of them.
So, Randy, you couldn't see the facial expression. I think there's one person that was truly ticked in the room, and it was Mickey Morandini.
He was.
I think he was really
was mad.
He was not happy.
He was like angry at Spike. Really?
He's like, I came in for this. I mean, he thinks he got railroaded. I'm like, dude, be a better lawyer. Not my fault.
One thing,
Spike Askin, drop the ball.
Go ahead, Randy.
Top of the week. Can we get like 90 seconds of the debut, like your first segment? 90 seconds tomorrow is the drop of the week. I think we'd love to hear it.
We might have that audio. We probably won't do it in drop of the week.
The radio equivalent of a number three.
I don't know. Dude, trust me, we weren't good in the beginning.
But to my basketball point, I think what. With Kelsey on today, he's like the antithesis of Joel Embiid. Like, if we could make a Frankenstein basketball player, we'd take the heart of Jason Kelsey and stuff it into the body of Joel Embiid. And what angers us endlessly, the Twitter poll today doesn't mean a darn thing because it doesn't matter if we put him in bubble wrap till June,
exactly.
He's not going to be mentally or physically ready to deliver every single game, even if it's only for 2 months.
Yeah, if we bubble wrap him, does it make him tougher?
Yeah. No, you're probably right, Randy. You're probably right.
And even so far, they're going to load manage him in the playoffs, which is just infuriating. Jason Kelsey would be out there.
I know.
If
there are no back-to-back in the playoffs, for what it's worth.
That's right. That's right.
But I could see us coming back. We've like taken a split the series in Boston, and then they're going to tell us he's got to sit out game three.
Look, Randy, here's the one that to me is the historically most difficult to stomach because it made no sense, and it was the best team the Sixers have had in this whole time. 2019, he dominates game three. He decimates Toronto. They're up 2-1. For whatever reason, he could not answer the bell in game four. And with that loss, they lost home court advantage, and they lost their best shot in these 7 years to get to a conference final. They lost, like, people talk about Kawhi's shot, and I get it. They lost the series in game four when he was not physically, mentally, or emotionally ready to play that day.
What was the cause?
I don't know.
Like, what's the root of that?
I don't know.
Was he, like, sick or something?
There was talk of
it. I think that's what they said.
But I don't know what that means.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying that's what they said it was.
We were told it was sick. Yeah.
That's
like, what does that really mean?
Yeah, that's
what did
the game.
He do? Did he really do something different than get sick? Yeah. I don't know.
And Randy, the reason that one hurts so much, so like for as much as a fiasco the one against the Hawks was game five and game seven, and I'm not saying that was his fault. That was more a Ben Simmons thing. The Sixers probably weren't winning the title that year, even though they're the one seed. I mean, Ben was crumbling in front of our eyes, just crumbling. But in 2019, with Jimmy Butler, and knowing that Golden State in the finals lost both Durant and Klay Thompson, like, the Sixers could have won. They could have. And they blew it because he blew it in game four. All right, Randy, give me Seltzer says you don't have an answer for a number and a phrase. How's that possible?
Oh, I came back to three strikes and you're out.
Oh, you do have it. Okay, you snuck it in there.
I got one.
All right, good call, buddy. Appreciate that. Let's listen, by the way. Let's go to last night's ESPN broadcast. This was an interesting point-counterpoint pregame before the game. Obviously, pregame would be, before the game, Joe. Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith on the Joel thing, they have, to say the least, different opinions.
The stars need to play. Adam Silver has been adamant about this. Joel Embiid, again, I asked you this earlier, Shep, is he injured? Why is he progressing? What does this mean? You've been through training camp. Like, why are you not available right now? You're paid to be on the floor. I understand the postseason.
Right.
I get it. But at the end of the day, you got to get through the regular season in order to get to
I got you. You can say that all you want to. If there's one player that shouldn't require an investigation, it's Joel Embiid. He's missed 329 games in his career. He missed the first two seasons of his career. This man has had every injury known to man. The only thing he hasn't had that we know of is a heart attack and a stroke. Everything else he's had. We all know this. And so when you're talking about him potentially being healthy for the postseason, okay, it makes perfect sense what the Sixers are doing because he's never healthy.
Listen. I mean, it's not like Stephen A's wrong.
I just looked it up for what it's worth. Kendrick Perkins never came close to playing 82 games in the season. The most he ever played, oh, he did come close. He had 78 one year, but most years 68, 60, 72, yeah. 29, 65, 78 again.
Kendrick
but,
wasn't a star like
no.
like
no,
Joel
but
no.
just my point no. of like, you know, like well, this has been happening for a long time, especially yeah, with big guys.
But what he said was your star's got to be playing opening night. I mean, that's what what Kendrick led
I
with.
I agree. And I think his inference also is frequently.
Correct.
You know, like, come on, man. Yeah. I will say that stat or figure or fact, whatever the hell it is.
By Stephen A?
No, that ESPN put up on the screen last night. Now, it's skewed because of the first two seasons before he started playing, he missed all 164 games. Yeah. But the fact that he has only played in 40, or he's missed or played, I forget which it is, in 46% of the games in his career.
What people,
that's incredible.
What people get miss about those of us who are so irritated and annoyed by Joel yeah. is the second year was missed because he didn't rehab properly.
Yeah.
They have allowed him to get away with all of his rehab and conditioning stuff for 10 years.
No, they have messed up in many ways, and he has to.
And now in year 11, I'm expecting that he's going to take it all seriously?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time is yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. With Xfinity Mobile, customers now getting exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Even if they rested Embiid for 82 straight games, once the playoffs come, he is incapable of playing a two-month stretch in the playoffs. I have never seen a player in my whole life in any sport get tired. Like, even if they're tired, they battle through a play. They do that. This guy is pure exhaustion.
Well, I don't know if exhaustion is even the main issue, but it's an issue.
It is a great point, though. I mean, he has less of an ability to push through than what we've seen from other guys.
I agree.
Oh, Nelly, let me tell you about a bad time in Philadelphia sports. Hey, is there any chance you guys could put together like a crying montage for days like this? Schmidt, Maxie, Joe, and John get their crying, mix it together somehow.
In a dream to become a Major League Baseball player, I thank God the dream came true.
This is really...
Go to the phones. 888, I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
That was phenomenal.
Well, that's great, and Wechter put it in there, but how do you not have the Kelce cry in there? I mean, Jason Kelce was crying in his press conference, and how do you not have an Allen Iverson cry? Listen, Joe, great job, but for tomorrow, I think we need a little bit. Who else would he put in this, James?
Well, Maxey was mentioned. He didn't get in there on draft night.
Eric Lindros when he won the MVP. We got a couple.
We'll keep thinking, too.
This will be good. The crying montage.
Oh,
I like
God.
It. That's good.
Happy 8th anniversary. Been there from the beginning with you. Trust me, I'm in a truck all day. And starting these mornings out with you guys is fabulous every single day. You keep me entertained.
I'd like the morning show to do a poll. Who gets married first, John Ritchie or Joe DiCamera?
Well,
wow.
How about that?
Do I have to write that down? Who gets...
He's writing it down. I like
how
this.
How do you spell married?
M-A-R-R-I-E-D.
Who gets married
really?
First?
Did you really need to ask that?
No, it was sarcasm,
was it really,
bonehead.
Though?
All right, with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Times Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
So, we got to come up with the winning answer for a number and a phrase, and we could have gotten a lot more answers. These were good ones today. Behind the eight ball, back to square one, you know, any variation of going number one or number two. Cloud nine, two sides to every story, three strikes and you're out.
Is it too childish to go with the number two, like, because it's thematic?
No, it's the right
show. It worked for the show today. It did. You know,
I think
we got number three. We learned more about that.
Salvador, you've won with number one.
Oh my god!
And number two. Now I'll tell you
I don't know that that's a good decision.
No,
but
it's the right
I
decision.
Think it's the right one.
You know what? Maybe could have beaten it, and it wasn't said.
Not good. It's just right.
21 gun salute would have been a good one. That's it's got meaning behind it.
But, 12 days of Christmas.
But instead, we went for number one or number two.
That's right.
We did. Yeah. Hey,
very classy.
We're on brand, folks. By the way, Keith Jackson was mentioned earlier.
John Ritchie is in the backfield now for the Michigan Wolverines. The up man, number 40, and Collins' first pass of the day.
There you go.
He says it so classy.
Whoa, Nelly. Everyone, have a great rest of the day.